We are in for a treat today on this Wednesday, December the 5th, 2007. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on AM 850 KFUO. This is normally a call-in program, but we're going to ask you to withhold your calls for a few minutes because we have a guest. In fact, we're going to have two guests, but the first one is coming on in a moment here. His name is Pastor Gary Held. He was a seminarian field worker of mine at one time, and we'll see if he's on the line right now. All right, Gary, can you hear me?
I'm Tom.
How you doing?
Doing terrific. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, after you sent me that check, I tell you, why not? Hello, Gary? Did we lose Gary? Okay, we're going to have to phone him back here. And let me tell you a little bit why we're going to be talking to Gary. Those of you who have been listening for about some 10, 11 years here to Law and Gospel in the evening hours for the first number of years, you may remember that both Gary Held and Rick Boschhoven would occasionally take over my program when I was out of the city. They were seminarians and did a wonderful job. Gary had been a pastor in Indiana. Now he's down in Palm Bay, Florida. And we've had two seminars down there in his area. And at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention this past summer, when we were there with Concordia Mission Society, we had a booth up and we're encouraging people to buy books on Law and Gospel and the Good News publication. Gary just so happened to be a delegate. So we had a number of opportunities to be talking. And he was telling me about another caller of mine, Matthew Pancake is his name. And he has become Lutheran, and he's all excited about Law and Gospel. So the two of them decided to put together a program. And that's what they did. They put together a program, first of all, in the Internet. And then, lo and behold, they brought it over to the, not the Internet, but to a radio program. In fact, just a huge surprise, and he'll tell you a little bit about this when he gets back on. As a manager, he was asked by the manager of the radio program if he would be willing to come over and do this. And they began the radio program last Sunday. The item on the program was called The Lutheran Difference. And they changed the name, though, of their program. So let's see if we can get Gary back right now. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, Tom, I guess I didn't send you a big enough check, huh?
No, no, but we're billing the congregation, so.
That's very understandable.
All right, I was right into talking about that you changed the name of the program from what you had on the Internet, The Lutheran Difference. What name did you choose for it?
Radical Grace.
Radical Grace. And
yeah.
Give me a little background. I know we're waiting for Matthew to get off work and come on board.
Yes.
But in the meantime, give us a little background of what you were doing, first of all, on the Internet and how this led to the radio broadcast.
Well, I'll tell you, the fun that we had was that we first began talking about what we could do in terms of outreach, in terms of getting the message out. And in fact, it was shortly after you had come and visited our congregation and had mentioned at that time that you really were of the mind that every Lutheran congregation ought to consider seriously having some kind of radio format program. Well, that is a little intimidating, a little bit to get your arms around right at first. But a podcast is something that you can do.
A podcast is just what is that now?
Well, a lot of people have these MP3 players and these iPods, and, you know, most people, I suppose, use them for their original purpose of listening to music. Either they transfer music from CDs and things like that, or they buy music online, and they like to listen to their own music during the day. But a podcast is more like a talk show or a radio broadcast that you still download, you still listen to it the same way with your MP3 player or your iPod.
You download it from the computer, you're saying?
You use the computer, that's right.
Okay.
And once you've gone onto the computer and gone online, you probably need a a little, well, you could do it with dial-up, but you'd be more satisfied if you had a little faster connection than dial-up.
Well, right now we really don't need to talk about that because I understand that you don't need to podcast your programs anymore. They're actually on the Internet?
Well, they are on the Internet, and they're also being broadcast here locally on our AM station, WMEL.
So, why'd you call it Radical Grace?
Well, you know, there was a lot of reasons. We weren't unhappy with the name Lutheran Difference, but I think part of the reasoning was that somebody is just turning his radio dial, and when they hear something interesting, they may listen for a while. Maybe they come from some other background, other church background, and they're listening. We want them to stay listening as long as they can and kind of get hooked by the message itself.
So that the title of the program, like if I was just listening to the radio and I heard the Baptist Difference or the Roman Catholic Difference, I probably wouldn't stay on very long because I kind of know what that is. But Radical Grace,
right?
How do you consider it to be radical? I'm assuming that you're going against the common sense view of grace, which is what, and then what's the radical view?
Well, the radical view of grace is that it's just so much more than people are generally expecting. They don't understand that this is about entirely what God has done for us. It's entirely about His Spirit working in our lives through the gospel, and He does everything. He brings us to faith. He gives us the confidence to call on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that He is our Savior. He is, from first to last, the author of our faith. And so that's a grace that a lot of Christians talk about grace, but they don't talk about grace quite like that.
Okay, give a little more explanation there, because most Christians believe that they're saved by grace. Talk about the natural view, the commonsensical view, in contrast to the radical view of grace.
Well, I suppose the natural view is that when you're expecting grace, the natural mind, the fallen mind, would think, I have to do a certain amount to earn that grace. I have to do something to gain God's favor. And that would be very natural, a kind of quid pro quo.
Mentioned grace was God's favor.
Yes.
That's not what most Christians believe. They really consider grace as some kind of power source? Like when they ask for more grace?
I think that they believe that what God is going to give them is help.
I see.
And help, you know, for the Christian, there are times when we call on the Lord for help, and He answers prayer. But for somebody who does not know the Lord, that is really very unaware of the gospel and what it means, they don't need help. They need eternal life. They don't need, you know, it's not like they lost their path and they're searching around for the right road and a little help would be to get them on the right road. They don't know that they are not on a road at all, that they're going off over a chasm. They don't know that they are blind and dead in their trespasses and sins.
So they kind of think they're theologically handicapped and they just need a crutch when you're saying they're in reality dead?
Oh, absolutely. That's not just me, though. That's Paul. Paul says that we're dead in our trespasses and sins.
Now, what does that mean? Because we see people walking around who are unbelievers. To be dead in trespasses and sin, what does that specifically mean?
That's really saying that just as, you know, a dead person, a person who has died, they can do nothing to bring themselves to life. It's nonsensical to talk about it. They can't, you know, the classic example, I know that you've used this before too, is Jesus, of course, raised Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus not only didn't contribute to anything to his being raised from the dead, but you know, if the Lord Jesus had not come around that day, there would be nothing that Lazarus could do to persuade him.
So Lazarus' decision to come out of the grave wasn't something he was just thinking about, and Jesus was the impetus to help him make the decision?
Well, yeah, if you want to talk about you know, I was called and I was given the power to respond to the call, all in the very act of the call coming to me, the call to faith, the call to the gospel. And so we are all of us, the natural man, the fallen man, we're not able to hear the gospel aright unless the Spirit enables us to hear the gospel aright. Or the way Jesus often put it, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. But you can't give yourself ears to hear. The Spirit gives you ears to hear. Until he has given you ears to hear, you can't hear it. If you can't hear it, you can't respond to it. It doesn't register.
That doesn't sound very optimistic for the natural self. Many people today who are autonomous, they're a law to themselves. They think they can handle a lot of things. You're saying that nobody has any power at all to make a decision in the spiritual realm.
Yeah, that's correct.
As unbelievers.
I'm saying that until we are brought to faith, we have no power to please God. We have no power to even recognize the true situation we're in. That's how lost a lost person is.
So what's our hope in trying to get people to come to faith? If they can't do anything about it, what's the sense of telling them what things they need to do to come to faith?
Well, I'm not sure that that's where you start. I don't think you give them a laundry list of things to do and say, look here, just get on these and you'll very soon come to faith and things will start getting better. And
well, if you can't tell them what to do to come to faith, then how does someone come to faith?
You tell them instead exactly what Christ has done. Now, it is true. Unless the Spirit is at the same time and through the opportunity afforded by the preaching of the Word, unless that Spirit gives ears to hear, boy, they'll listen to that message and they'll think, well, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You cannot coerce the Spirit and say, hey, I really think we need to get a conversion here, you know, in the next half hour. Can you hurry up? We say in our Lutheran confessions that the Holy Spirit works when and where it pleases him.
It's kind of like I saw an interesting Law and Order last night where the wife of one of the main detectives was in a terrible car accident. And she was pregnant, 9 months, almost having the baby during the accident, or as it was after it happened. And she went unconscious.
Yes.
And she was going to die, but they were able to get a fluid into her. And it was very interesting that as soon as the fluid entered, within 3 seconds, she was opening her eyes. Is that kind of a good analogy for we are totally unconscious when it comes to spiritual matters, and we really need to have that hypodermic needle of the Word of God come into us so that the Holy Spirit can create a spiritual health?
Well, I think there is something, especially when you consider into that you're not going to administer that hypodermic to yourself.
It's impossible. You're unconscious.
That's exactly right. You need someone, and you can't give them direction, and you can't give them permission, and you can't give them any other number of things.
That's good.
You simply have to be the recipient of the life-giving. In your case, it's some kind of medicine or substance that that then after that you have some consciousness. That is to say, you have a way of responding. He gives you the ability to respond.
That's an important scenario, then. We really need to underscore this, that we are, as Christians, as we approach unbelievers, like ambulance drivers. Hmm. And these people, unbeknownst to them, are really unconscious, dead in sin. Nothing we can say to them can bring them to faith, except the Word of God, which is kind of like giving them a hypodermic and giving them fluids that they need to...
To
find, and then the Holy Spirit does the work of bringing them to faith.
That's an excellent point. Tom, I just had Matthew Pancake, who's going to join us now, and I'm going to have to be gone just for a second while I also get his phone on the same call. Okay?
Oh, okay, sure. Take a moment here. And
yes.
In the meantime, while Gary's gone, and Matthew is a layperson, that started calling here at AMA 50KFUO, became a member of Pastor Held's congregation. And between you and me, Gary's not on the line right now, I think he's really the driving force behind the program, in the sense that he does all the work on the computers and really does a lot of legwork for Pastor Held. And it's so wonderful to have somebody like that in every congregation. I know I had some people I could really count on to do areas that would take too much time for me away from the Word and Sacrament ministry. All right, Matthew, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're only too happy to talk. Gary was just talking about how he was doing well until you came on board, and so... Is that what you said, Gary?
Well, actually, you know, you've gotten this wrong about every time you've talked about it, because,
okay.
You know, I'll tell you, I would not, none of this would have come together had not Matthew really been up on the technology, and then he was passionate about what this could potentially mean to people who had not been exposed to this teaching in our area, and he has invested enormous amounts of time, so he might think that he's actually better off if he could ditch me and get somebody else on there with him.
Well, actually, while you were off the line, I made the point that he was the driving force behind this from a technical point of view, and also with the radio. What was it, a surprise to you, Matthew, that someone at a radio station asked you to have a program?
Yeah, it was definitely a surprise. In fact, it was such a surprise that we weren't expecting it at all. It happened because I was asked by somebody here to be the moderator at a forum. It was going to be the local area candidates for city council.
Hmm.
And I was there, and Ed Dean, who has his show here on this station, on WMEL, said, well, actually, I just ran into him. He was there because he'd been to all the forums. And I got to talking to him and found out where he was, and he said, give me your phone number, and I gave him a copy of the show. I didn't call him. He called me.
Well, this must be a really tiny radio station. They probably don't have anything important on there, like important political speakers or football games or anything like that.
Oh, no. You're right. They only carry Sean Hannity, and they only carry, they carry O'Reilly. They've got Savage Nation on there. You're right. They don't carry anything.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers football.
Yeah, that's right. They don't carry that either.
Oh, well, you guys are on Sundays when the Tampa Bay. So you are on with the Tampa Bay? What do you do, your program in between their plays or what?
No, we are being the technical term for it is preempted, but they're running spots during the game saying that we're going to be on at 6 instead of 2.
Oh, you're going to be on at 6 on Sunday night instead of 2.
Yeah.
Is there any way that people here in St. Louis and throughout the country, because you're talking to people throughout the country, can hear the program? Is it afterwards put on the Internet?
Well, actually, we're doing it the same way we'd always done it. We record the program. In this case, we're recording it at the station live. And I take it home and upload it onto the same place that it was always on in the first place, the feed for the podcast.
And how does somebody arrive at that place? What do they type in?
There's two ways they can get it. One of them is www.radical-grace.com. And the other one is lutherindifference.com.
Boy, you almost put a "the" in there.
Yeah.
lutherindifference.com.
That's why we figured, that's another reason why I went ahead and got the Radical Grace one, was because...
In fact, I was on it a couple of nights ago and talking with Gary, and the only thing I suggested is to put the dates down, because you'll find that a lot of people will phone me or write me and say, will you please send me the item that is such and such a date? And that might be something you'd want to include on there as to when you did those particular things, and it'll have some kind of sequence too.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, the feed keeps track of that for us. Anytime I upload one of these programs onto our feed,
uh-huh,
it automatically generates all of that.
Now, why did you think this was important? Aren't there some cooks at the congregation? You could have had a cooking show. You could have had a show on woodworking. Why did you think
translates well to radio.
You're a layman. What are you interested in theology for?
Well, why not? I mean, but, I mean, being a Christian, I'm by default a theologian anyway. I mean, it'd be a very good one, but I'm automatically thinking about things that are matters of that are about God, about Jesus, about salvation, about anything like that. So as soon as you start thinking about those things, you're thinking about theology. And I'd been thinking about theology before, coming out of the churches that are going on around here. Some of the what they call the gospel is a very strange, not very comforting kind of gospel. They talk about the gospel as though there's a law of gospel. In fact, I've heard sermons called the law of gospel.
What is that? Do they give you?
Well, they give you
principles
the top 10,
or steps?
That particular one was about the Ten Commandments. That the gospel is that God has given you these Ten Commandments, and if you follow them, you'll be fine.
Oh, so the law is really a friend? Not like the Bible says, an enemy.
It wasn't very user friendly, I'm afraid, this particular sermon. But and the thing is that although that one's blatant, that one's blatantly not the gospel. Some of them are. They will give you a pretty good proclamation of the gospel and then follow it up with, now, you had better be doing these things if you want to make sure that you really are a Christian. Do these 7 things that we've got. Be careful not to listen to this kind of music, or be careful not to read these kinds of books.
When you heard those things, did that kind of resonate with you, or did you feel there was something wrong?
Well, I felt there was something. I mean, once in a while they'll hit one that resonates with you. They'll say, you know, don't go out and drink on Saturday nights. Okay, well.
So you go Sunday night.
That would, yeah. Well, pick a different night.
Yeah.
I mean, that one can resonate with me because it's not even about the drinking. It's just about being out someplace where I don't feel safe. But that's not right because I'm not obeying it for the right reason, or at least not the reason that they're saying to obey it.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes, even that will become a burden. Even if it resonates with me, it doesn't matter. I can't pull them off.
So what you're saying is that you are hearing a theology that for some reason wasn't resonating with you because you are a Christian and have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Why weren't the other people in the congregation having the same kind of negative feelings that you have?
Well, I don't think that they weren't, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, that's interesting.
There are times, like in the previous church that I was in, and we briefly talked about this in one of the podcasts, where they had a lineup for people to get their first anointing so that they could speak in tongues, for instance. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now, one of the people in this particular line didn't, quote-unquote, get their anointing.
Everybody else did.
Everybody else did, but this one person didn't, and therefore they didn't speak in tongues. This person was inconsolable.
Matthew?
Yes?
I've got some bad news for you.
What?
We're at the bottom of the hour.
Oh.
No.
So it was great talking to you guys. I wish we could keep you on. Is it possible you can stay on through the break and continue in a few minutes?
I can, sure.
Oh, all right, then we'll do that. I'm Tom Baker. We're listening to Gary Hall and Matthew Pancake as they're going to talk about what actually happened on the first program. They had a caller, and we'll get right into that when we get back from the break.
Family feud. Do you have that in your life? Is there someone in your family you're having a tough time dealing with these days? Hi, I'm Dr. Mark. Join my co-host Michelle Bauer and me on Life Revised as we talk about damaged family relationships and how to mend them. Join us on Life Revised because life is a series of revisions.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
On the morning show.
Listen for the jingle bells.
That's right, my little elfin buddy. All week long on the morning show, listen for the jingle bells. That'll be your cue to call and win a Christmas DVD for the entire family from AM 850 KFUO. So.
Listen for the jingle bells.
Listen and win AM 850 KFUO.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Far too many families today are kid-centered, where parents are willing to sacrifice everything for their child's happiness, even their own marriage. My colleague Dr. James Dobson has a different perspective.
Shirley's my best friend. She is a very special lady, and I cannot imagine not spending the rest of my life with a person that I've laid this foundation with. And through the years, we have laughed and we've traveled and we've had such a wonderful time together. It is sad that so many couples do not have that when the kids are gone, that they look at one another and don't have that reservoir of friendship to build on.
For couples, there's no greater joy than spending the rest of your life with your best friend, your spouse. But this vital relationship demands constant care and commitment. If you'd like to know more about how to cultivate your marriage, check out our website at family.org.
When the fullness of time had come, a Christmas sermon preached by Todd Wilkin.
The most important event in your life didn't even happen in your lifetime. It happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus' perfect death for sinners at the cross.
And we'll send you a CD of this Christmas sermon for a tax-deductible year-end gift of $50 or more to Issues, etc. Donate today, issuesetc.org or 1-800-737-0172. Thanks for thinking of Issues, etc. as we approach the end of 2007.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, inviting you to join me for a relaxing 3 hours of music, prayer, insights into Scripture, a little humor as well, all packaged for your enjoyment and faith strengthening. You'll hear stories that will uplift you, a Christian spin on some news items, and lots of encouragement for your faith and your life from the Word of God. So join me, won't you? That's Jubilation every Sunday afternoon, beginning at 105 right here on AM 850 KFUO.
The percentage of men in church on Sunday morning is dropping in many churches. Why is this? Recently on Issues Etc., a caller to the program had one possible explanation.
In a lot of churches, their worship services have become kind of religious Tupperware parties. In some churches, people come in and there's this kind of manipulation going on. They're trying to sell you something, and it isn't even really preaching anymore. That I think the thing that keeps men away from many churches is that element that keeps them away from little parties like that. It's this feeling when you walk through the door, they're trying to get something from me, and they're trying to do it in a manipulative way, and I don't want to have anything to do with this.
Issues Etc. is talk radio for the thinking Christian. Weekdays 3 to 6 on AM 850 KFUO.
Tom Baker back with Law and Gospel as we're enjoying our conversation with Gary Held and Matthew Pancake, who live in Palm Bay, Florida, and began a radio program last Sunday. We're going to get them back on the line. Hi, Gary and Matthew.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing, guys?
Before we talk about the hour that you did have, can you finish that story, Matthew, about how people you feel do not resonate with some of that charismatic theology?
Well, they don't always resonate with it. Actually, the direction I was headed with it was whether or not people are comforted by a gospel that the rest of the world says is the gospel, the rest of Christianity or other churches, is that they make promises that aren't really promises that are made to people. Things about you'll get a better job if you believe God hard enough for it, or you'll get a better home.
Kind of the prosperity gospel?
The thing is it's not always looked at as a prosperity gospel because they kind of cover it up in some interesting ways. It becomes a way of life for them, so even if they don't call it a prosperity gospel anymore, it still is.
Well, when you got back into an agreement with what the Bible is talking about, are you in agreement with Gary about calling the program Radical Grace? And if so, what do you see the radical nature of grace?
The radical nature of grace is that it cuts to the very base of what it is that's my problem. My problem is that no matter how many things I think that I can do or how many things I actually can do, it's not going to live up to what it is that I'm supposed to be, to who I'm supposed to be at any point in my life. And if that's the case, then I have to have something happen. Somebody else has got to help me out of this. Somebody else has got to take pity on my situation and actually do something about this.
Well, maybe it's Joel Osteen and his book, Become a Better You, Become a Better Matthew, and he's got 7 keys to improving your life. What's wrong with that?
Okay. Well, the thing is I don't know if you've noticed his first book, Your Best Life Now, he's making the case in there that you can have a better life if you do these things. Well, people have come to him and probably said, oh, Joel, I'm still having so much trouble. And Joel has come to the conclusion that, well, the reason that you couldn't have your best life now is because there's something wrong with you. Well, he's got that right. But now he wants to try and make every you who picks up his book better so that they can have their best life. So he's actually come to a point where he understands it, but he's given them the wrong prescription.
He says,
here's your 7 ways to improve you now.
Yeah, I've got them in front of me. Keep pressing forward, be positive, develop better relationships, form better habits. You know, if Jesus had had this advice, perhaps he would not have gotten crucified.
If Jesus had, there's no perhaps, Jesus wouldn't have. They'd have given him the keys of the city.
And you're saying that's an inappropriate way.
If it was just about how to get along on earth, sure.
Oh, well said.
You know, if it was just about how to get ahead in my job, his advice is good advice. If it's how to get along with my neighbor, his advice is good advice. If it's advice on how to please God, it's bad advice.
Now, Gary, do you see many lay people having this great distinction Matthew just made between how God works in the temporal realm in contrast to the spiritual realm?
All of the people in my congregation are thoroughly versed in this, Tom. No.
No. I just talked to your wife.
Oh.
She doesn't even listen to your program. So,
no, I'll tell you, it is something that gives me a lot of pleasure to be able to talk with somebody that has largely on his own. You know, he's studied a lot of things out. He's asked some really difficult, challenging questions, and gone to the Bible and gone to the confessions and wrestled with things really, I would say, on a level that is not typical at all of even a faithful layperson that, you know, loves the Lord and comes to church every Sunday, but, you know, they may have other things that they're pursuing, and they perhaps have not taken the time or have the resources readily available to look into these things deeply.
Well, if I remember, you and Lisa didn't come out of a Lutheran background either, did you?
Well, I had. My wife, Lisa, actually came from a Methodist background.
Oh, that's right. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, you've been living with someone like Matthew where it's such an obvious difference. Are you two trying to get that across on the radio to the people?
Well, very much so. I mean, what we want is for people to be listening and to have an experience where they're going along and what I'm saying or what Matthew's saying or what a guest is saying, you know, that sounds all right. And then something is said and it's like, what was that? What just got said? That can't be right.
Right.
And you know, we talk about the gospel and the radical nature of it. It is comforting. It is incredibly comforting. It can also be disturbing.
Yes.
And especially, I like the word, startling. And both of those, we don't often think about things, you know, on a, quote, religious program, you know, that anything is going to be startling or disturbing. But when the gospel and the radical nature of grace begins to open up your eyes, and you know, it's the same Bible verses that you grow up reading and hearing preached on, but now those Bible verses are just carrying all kinds of new meaning, all kinds of possibilities that you hadn't seen before. And if we can communicate that, if we can get some people engaged in that discussion, boy, that is really going to be exciting.
Well, that does sound exciting, and that's what you're trying to do on the programming. I want to kind of test to see how good you guys are. I know that you got a caller Sunday, but what we're going to do is give you a caller right now and let you respond to him. Are you two ready?
Okay, is Louise going to get on the phone now?
No, this is going to be Wesley from Illinois. Hi, okay. Wesley.
Hi, Pastor. How are you doing?
Very good. Would you Hello, please Wesley, address your question to Gary and Matthew?
All right. Hello, sirs.
Hello. How you doing?
How you doing?
All right. No, I don't want to be confusing, get people off on the wrong track. Oh, well, you were speaking of commandments. There's two passages. One is 1 Corinthians 7, 19b, and the other would be John 14, 21 through 24. And I'll just hang up and listen to you guys. Okay.
Well, before you hang up, do you have a problem with these passages, or are they confusing to you, Wesley?
Well, no. Well, I understand them, but it's like, well, like you guys were saying, you had people who weren't quite understanding the meaning of God's commandments.
Yes.
It doesn't say the Ten Commandments here is what these passages are referring to.
I heard you say 1 Corinthians 7, but
19b.
Oh, okay, 19. I was looking in the wrong
place. That's the first thing you do as a radio host. You always have a pencil and paper ready.
Oh, okay. That's what a blessing you are.
Yeah, I know. And then you should maybe have a Bible near you, too.
Okay, you see, I'm writing a new book, you know. It's called Being a Better Radio Show Host.
Yes.
Seven steps, too. So I'm going to make that number one.
Have a pencil and paper. All right, Wesley, you want to stay on or you just want to listen?
I'll just listen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to take over for Wesley here.
Okay.
And I'll read 7:19b. I'm going to read the first part of it also. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters.
Okay. That's correct.
Oh, I thought you guys said that keeping the commandments doesn't save you.
Well, now, but hold on. What is the commandment... The commandment that Paul really means here is it is in other words, if you take this to mean that keeping the commandments is I have to figure out quick which of the Big Ten that he's talking about, or maybe it's not just the Ten Commandments but some of the other regulations as well. Boy, I'm going to have to start juggling lists so that I make sure that I don't miss one of the commandments. Oh heavens!
So what does he mean here? That keeping the commandments is what really matters.
Well, this is the commandment that you believe on the one whom God has sent. That commandment really is the basis. Because, and I'll tell you right now, too, that commandment, is not one that you are going to keep simply on your own. In other words, if you don't have those ears to hear that we were talking about earlier, if you don't have... that gift of grace to receive this gospel. You're not going to keep that commandment either. But that's another way of just saying that if God's grace is not working in your life, that favor that comes from outside of you and begins to minister and change the person you actually are, not just a better you, an entirely new you, you won't keep the commandments, and, you won't be saved.
Well, Matthew, you mentioned in your previous church that they had talked about, you can be more sure of your salvation if you keep these rules or commandments. Let me read to you John 14:21, and how would you respond to this? Jesus is saying this, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Then Judas says to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" He answers, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." So, beginning with verse 21 there, Matthew, it sure sounds like that if you keep his commandments, that shows that you're loving him.
Yeah, if people want to look for commandments in that to keep, they are going to wind up in a situation where they hear Jesus very loudly when he says, "He who does not keep my commandments doesn't love me."
Well, how do you get around that? I mean, do you keep the commandments, Matthew?
No, I don't.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes, I do.
So you're disagreeing with what Jesus says here?
No, I'm not disagreeing with what Jesus... See... The thing is when people want to look for, they're asking the law a question.
Uh-huh.
When someone says that, and the law says, yeah, you had better keep me fully. You had better do everything that you were told and do it perfectly. But the thing is our fallen side, like we have a new man and an old man, and our old man is always looking for good things to do, constantly. Our new man, on the other hand, is more interested in loving Jesus. Our new man is going to do things because he loves Jesus. He's going to follow those commandments. He's going to... See, in other words, Jesus is telling us what it is that the new man does. The new man keeps these commandments. But if you're going to keep these commandments in order to show how much you love God, you've already made the move into being under the law.
Because you're trying to manipulate God.
Yeah, because at that point...
That's a good answer.
Trying to prove, not just to God, but to other people around them, too, say that, oh, look how much I love God. Look how much I love Jesus. Like, I could say this. Boy, would I be wrong by saying this. Look how much I love Jesus. I mean, I have just struggled and everything over the last 9 months to put this radio show together, and you know something? If people say that I don't love God, then they're just absolutely, there's something wrong with them, because I just love God a lot. Well, okay, wait a minute. They weren't there for those nights where I was struggling and saying, I haven't got a clue why I'm trying to do this. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if this is going to go anywhere. That was where I was with this. And, you know, the thing about it is I always just said to myself this, I love Jesus so much, I'm just going to try and do this.
The other thing that I think about is, if we have Wesley, we're still on the phone, is I would ask him, you know, are we saved by grace through love? In other words, do I have to be able to say, my love is so sincere and so abundant and so obvious that now on account of this great love for God, for Jesus in my life, that God's grace is now going to operate in my life? It doesn't say that. It says that we're saved by grace through faith. And so faith then gives me that connection, that relationship with God. Now, when you take a verse like what you just pointed out, if Jesus says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Well, when I am struggling in sin or in doubt or in anything that's a condition of my fallen nature, is there something wrong with my love for Jesus? Yeah, actually, there is. But my love for Jesus is not the way it would be if I were in total righteousness with no sin nature at all inhering in me. Okay? But that's not the basis of my relationship with God. In other words, I guess what I'd get to is that while we can look at my behavior and the things that pertain to the commands, and maybe draw some conclusions about how I love Jesus, I don't think that there's anything in that passage that he just pointed to that tells me, based on my behavior, you can draw conclusions about how Jesus loves me.
Right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. It's kind of like grace isn't the only radical notion you two are going to be working with. Just about everything in Christianity is radical. I think part of the problem is people understand that they need to be righteous like God is, and as soon as they hear the word righteous, they think of works, and it just doesn't cross their mind that the way that they are considered righteous by God is through an act that he does, namely adopting them into his family. And just as an adopted child is not saved by any works at all on the part of the child, it still is fully adopted,
yes,
and it will do good works. It'll wear the clothes it's given, eat the food it's given, sleep in the bed that it's given.
Live the life of a family member.
Live the life of a family member, and not for the purpose of wanting to become adopted,
correct,
but because they're already adopted. And that's the kind of radical,
yes,
consideration of the law gospel. By the way, you mentioned radical gospel. Do you talk much about law and gospel?
I wonder if we have ever brought that subject up. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have.
Even if we don't bring up, say, okay, now we're going to start off by saying our show today is going to be about law and gospel. Well, actually, whether we say that it's about law and gospel or not doesn't matter. We are still following that path. We're still dividing law and gospel for people, even if we don't tell them that's what we're doing.
Do you know what Martin Luther used as a synonym for the word Bible?
I can't remember.
Law and gospel.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. Now, we're going to put you on the test again. We went to Illinois. You're from Florida. Let's go to Las Vegas right now and talk to Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Pastor.
Hey, isn't this great about two young men here putting on a radio show?
I'm jealous. I'm really pleased to hear that. In fact, I tapped onto their website, and I'm on their mailing list right away. So,
oh, wow.
All right. I'll probably keep in contact with them if possible. But I wanted to try to make a humble contribution to the discussion. One of the things I've learned is whenever I think of law and gospel, and you're talking about the radical nature of Christianity and the grace of God as found in his son, I think David and Goliath. And one of the things I've learned is that represents the theology called the substitutionary theology. Whatever happened to David determined the fate of his entire nation. Whatever happened to Goliath determined the fate of his nation that they each represented.
Yes.
So whatever happens, and that's applied to Christ in the scriptures, it says whatever he did in our stead and in our place. So we're continually reminded that we need to keep the commandments to be live a God-fearing life, to love, trust, and obey God.
That's right. Yeah.
The problem is that we have to do this from our conception onward, and that's impossible. And, of course, as the Scripture says in many places, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so we look to Jesus as the only possibility, and that's the radical nature. It's the substitutionary atonement of Christ for our sins, and I find that to be the most difficult thing for an average American to comprehend.
It's totally
what
alien.
What somebody else did is credited to us through faith alone.
Yeah.
That's how you become. That's how you keep the commandments. You keep them because Christ kept them for you, and his righteousness, his perfection of law-keeping is applied to you through the vehicle of faith. Now, that's radical. No other religion in the world speaks in those terms, but the scriptures have been plain, and that's what it says. I just wanted to throw that out.
Well,
Tom, if I may ask Frank a question.
Sure.
Knowing what you just said, and I completely agree with you, brother, I just would like to say, now that you know that Christ has entirely kept the law completely, and that all of that has been imputed to you as righteousness, and that it is totally by grace, doesn't that just make you want to, boy, say, hip, hip, hooray, I'm going to go out now and live any way I want to. I'm just going to do anything I want because, after all, it doesn't matter. Is that how you actually
feel?
I know.
That's the common thing that people encounter. I think Pastor Baker has mentioned that numerous times.
But you never find anybody who's actually...
That's right. It becomes one of you become adopted into the family of God,
right.
And he's your father. And what you do out of love. And, you know, you're not doing it to attain anything, but you're doing it just out of appreciation and love. It's a total different motivation. And that's a radical thing in itself, too. And that's the Lutheran message, the difference. You've got a beautiful title for your website, is that we do good works, and that becomes the evidence of our faith.
Yeah.
Everything comes out of faith in Christ, and like Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith in Jesus, nothing we do is acceptable to God and pleasing. It's still sin. It may be acceptable and righteous in the eyes of the world, in the left-hand kingdom, but only faith in Christ is pleasing to God. And so that's what the Christian does. What they do falls out of their faith. It's the evidence, and we are adopted children. I love those metaphors because they're so powerful. And Pastor Baker, he's referred to the book by Jacob Pruse on Just Words, and he's put that in a lot of his publications, too. It's powerful metaphors of the gospel, and I think that's really a good way to communicate. I just wanted to throw that out for the discussion. I look forward to reading your website.
Yeah, there's at least a dozen, if not more than a dozen, shows up on the website. It's a new program in terms of broadcast live over the airwaves here in our local market, but it's been something that largely through Matthew's efforts, you know, just trying every time to do things a little better and learning from mistakes and things like that. But even some of the early ones, people have said that it was a great blessing to download those and listen and get a different perspective. You know, it is Radical Grace is a great title, but it really points out that there is a Lutheran difference. I don't trying to do a plug here. Yes, I am, but you don't hear other churches talking about grace in these kind of terms.
That's what I'm wondering, how successful KFUO is and your program, and I've got some other seminarians, Paul Hunziker and others, who have programs around the country. How successful is it that we're really showing that radical difference? That's why it's good to have someone like Matthew alongside you, Gary, because he knows, having experienced both sides, where you and I, coming out of Lutheran backgrounds, sometimes it's not as obvious as it is to him.
I think that's correct.
Is there a possibility that for some of the programming you'll just repeat the programs you've already done, Matthew?
Repeat them? How do you mean repeat?
Well, put them over the radio. Or are you going to always try and get a new one?
I would rather, I mean, since we're paying for the time.
Yeah, right.
We might as well do them live. I mean, we could already get on the show and say, hey, we did a great program on such and such a date. Go there and listen to that one if you want some more.
Yeah. Guess what? I got some more bad news.
What?
We're at the end of the hour.
No.
Can you believe that?
Well, that's what we said at the end of our program.
You know, we didn't even get to what you've been talking about on your program. Is it worth staying over to say a little bit about that?
I'm not going anywhere.
That'd be fine.
Okay, we will a little bit. And by the way, since a lot of people won't be hearing the second hour, it's not archived, when you're on next Sunday at 6 and also the following week at...
It'll also be 6 until the Sunday the 23rd, and then we'll be on at the regular time.
What's the phone number that they can phone to talk to you?
Oh, terrific.
That's your second thing, besides having a pencil and paper. Always have a business card with a phone number on it. We're going to talk to these two novitiates.
What's a microphone?
Now, you've been doing this how long, Tom?
About 11 days.
About 11 days.
All right.
Days.
All right, we're going to let those two go for about 6 minutes here. We're going to bring them back on, and we're going to talk about their first program and also how they dealt with one of the callers on it. And if you'd like to phone us, we're now going to open up the phone lines. I haven't even mentioned it yet, but we are now. 505-7850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. It's called Radical Grace, and it's an opportunity to tell the Christian message.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m. on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.